Yesterday, I woke up early. I typically, when I wake up early, I turn back over and try to go back to sleep, but I just couldn't. I was just stirred up. And I felt like I needed to get myself out of bed. After all, it was 3 in the afternoon. I'm kidding, it wasn't like that at all. But it was early enough that after I poked my head out the door, my wife said, "What are you doing here?" Because she's not used to seeing me that early. She's a little bit more of an early riser. At some point, I sat down and my phone dinged, and there were some people doing some live videos of some event, and this is where I start getting myself in trouble. I'm just letting you know. But the event was in Watertown, and people were gathered and giving speeches, and they proclaimed yesterday, June 22nd, as LGBTQ Day. There's too many letters. I have to read it every single time. So it became a holiday for Watertown, and June is LGBTQ month, just so you know. It's a thing. So there it is. In stark contrast to that, I remembered looking at photos of the National Day of Prayer, which was held in the same place, and I think I saw like 8 chairs, and they weren't filled. Now, to that end, I didn't even know what was going on, and I'm a pastor, and I just didn't know anything. So whoever was marketing that didn't do a very good job. But that being said, didn't know anything about yesterday either. All I know is that there was hundreds of people there. However, and on a National Day of Prayer, there was no special flag raised or anything like that. But as I was a little bit jealous that this flag was getting raised on our wonderful city's flagpole, I remembered Exodus chapter 17, verse 15, says, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, 'The Lord is my banner.'" So even though Christians have a flag, there's a flag there, even though Christians have a flag, I don't need a banner. I don't need a flag. The Lord is my banner. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love." And that being said, the church is under attack. They call things, the world calls things that are sin, good. People who practice sin are heroes. Just living the way that they want to live and not letting anyone tell them how to do that. This message is not about LGBTQ. It's not about that. It's about what happens in Jude. Because in Jude, the same types of things were going on. People were sneaking in. They were causing people to turn away from the Lord or give some false representation. And Jude thought to write this letter. We'll go into that in a little bit. But again, I want to say that this message is not about LGBTQ. As a matter of fact, let me say this before I get sued. By the way, for everybody in internet land, the church did not give me permission to preach this message, so it's all me. This is all me. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I want to say this. God loves all people. Mm-hmm. All of them. God loves all people. Whether there be confusion or misdirection, his intention is to rescue and to be in right relationship with people and make us into the people that he created us to be, which is way more glorious than simply just enjoying our own pleasures. That's God's intent. His intent is always about love. I was talking with a pastor the other day, and we want to take back the rainbow. The reason the rainbow is there, if you remember the story, God creates man. At some point, God says, every inclination of every is only evil all the time. I think that's pretty substantial. All of them, all the thoughts. Whenever you're talking to someone, and even when they're talking about great things, sometimes you'll get this thought in the back of your head, oh, he's got some type of ulterior motive. Let me just release you from that. He does. Humanity cannot be perfect all the time. It's just the way we're built. We need the Lord so desperately. So only evil all the time. And so God sent a flood, and through Noah, people were rescued. And at the end of the flood, and the land was out there, and he rebuilt. He put a rainbow in the sky as a covenant, a remembrance, a promise. Now, what was he promising? It wasn't just, I'm not going to send a flood anymore. Here's God's intent. He wants to give you time to repent and have your life be right with him. Because the alternative is horrible. I say this a lot. He gives people two choices. Life and prosperity. Death and destruction. It all hinges on, are you going to follow him or not follow him? Life and prosperity if you follow him. If you don't, death and destruction. You get to pick. And he's not going to destroy you too fast. As a matter of fact, I think he waits too long sometimes. I wish he would come back right now. But if he came back right now, there's an awful lot of people that are stuck in the death and destruction column. And I think he's up there going, maybe I should. I sure love that guy down there. He treats me wrong. He doesn't even know I exist, but here it is. So, see, Christianity is, and the church is under attack. It just is. That's what Jude is telling us, and we'll go into that a little bit in more detail. But here's what I see as the biggest attack. If Jesus is so loving, you should accept me just the way I am. Now, I don't mind that statement so much. I don't mind it. Sure, I can accept you just the way you are. You want to, you know, punch me in the face? Thank you very much. No, Jesus still loves you. Come on, let's go to church. Let's get this taken care of. But there's an extension to that that's implied, or sometimes they say it right out loud. You should accept me the way I am and let me do as I please. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much that he doesn't want to keep you that way. Life and prosperity, death and destruction. In Jude, we see the phrase, ungodly people who pervert, that is, twist, the grace of God into sensuality, meaning this, God's grace, which is getting a blessing that you don't really deserve, is being twisted into the idea that feeling good actually takes precedence over living holy. We get to do what we want because God loves us anyway, and he's just going to forgive us anyhow. And so there it is. And so we take sensuality, that is feeling good, over living a holy life. Today I want to take a look at Jude and see how the Word of God teaches us to deal with the challenge that's actually facing the church today. About the book, real quickly, I'm going to finish this page really fast. You can divide Jude, 24 verses, into 7 sections. That's a lot. There's a salutation, which is the, hey, how you doing, part. There's the occasion of the letter. There's warnings from God dealing with sinners in the past. There's the characteristics of godless teachers are described. References to various prophecies, a summary of Christian duties, and spiritual growth and faithfulness. And then he closes it all out with what they call the benediction, just the closing of the letter. And we're going to start right in the beginning, the salutation. It starts in verse 1. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved to God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ. And he says this. Now he's warning them and proclaiming this challenge to churches and Christians everywhere that are under attack. And this is what he starts with, because sometimes Christians get this wrong. I watched a video the other day on YouTube of this wonderful person standing outside an abortion clinic and really bashing people. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jude says. Now, you'll read commentators, and these commentators will say things along the lines of, this is just a small little tidbit. It's like saying, hey, Howard, how you doing? Pretty good. Well, the weather's nice today. I got my sunglasses on. You know, what are you doing? We're going to a party later. You know, that's what this is. Hey, how you doing? I actually don't think so, for two reasons. One, if I'm texting, I can go, hey, how you doing? It doesn't matter much. Back then, paper was expensive. And you didn't just grab a pen that was, hey, can I borrow a pen? Every word had to mean something. And so when Jude, a servant of Jesus, starts this thing out, he says, mercy, peace be multiplied, and love be multiplied to you. So again, I want to say, this is not a message of hatred towards the LGBTQ community. I think someone added a letter in one of the speeches yesterday, and I have to figure out what that letter means now. It gets confusing. But this is not about hating and wanting to go to battle with them. Because when you pick that up, your message becomes confrontational. And it's not the message of the Lord, which is mercy, peace, and love. Notice I did not say acceptance and allowing people to do whatever they want. Mercy, peace, and love. The importance of the letter, I like Jude. He says, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So Jude wanted to do this. Just so you know, this is what I want to do too. If I could just take every Sunday and just say, Jesus loves you. All right, go home. All I want to do is talk. I love to talk to people about how I got saved. I want to know how you got saved. I want to know about your altar call experience and how awesome it was. I want to know what you were rescued from and the things that God delivered you from. And I would love to talk about that. And Jude is saying, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how I got saved. I want to talk about how Jesus rescued me, how he set me free from sin and doubt and darkness. And I'm no longer bound to go to hell anymore. And one day I'm going to be up in heaven and walk on the streets of gold. And that's what he wanted to talk about. But there was something, you know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him do it. He said, I gotta warn them. That became paramount. And sometimes we have to look at that stuff. It can't always be, you know, sometimes I'll preach a sermon and I'll go, boy, that was not warm and fuzzy at all. I don't know. Jude is about to step into something that's not warm and fuzzy. It gets warm and fuzzy at the end, and I'll try to portray that as best as I can. But for right now, he's saying there's people out there that are trying to pervert the grace of God. That is, they go, I'm a Christian. It's all warm and fuzzy. It's all good. And in addition to that, I get to do what I want. It's all about feeling good. It's all about, you know, let's dim the lights because that's more comfortable. Let's put the smoke out because that's more ethereal. Let's sing in such a way that people can float on the, you know, there's lots of studies that go into that stuff. It becomes all about feeling good. Now I started this out talking about LGBTQ, but I'm not just talking about that. Christianity isn't all about feeling good. It is, if I take it on myself as my job to make everybody that comes through this door feel warm and fuzzy, I'm not doing my job. It's not all about feeling good. Now, when you're walking right with the Lord and that worship is really pumping and you're crying out to Him, sometimes it feels like you're floating on air. So I'm not opposed to that. You know, I turn up when I'm driving around, I turn up the radio so loud that I can't hear my own voice. So that way I can sing and connect with the Lord. And you know, sometimes I get those goosebumps. I'm all for that. But that's not all that Christianity is about. It's about living a holy life before Him. And so that's what Jude is saying. And he gives us this warning. Certain preachers, the biggest preacher that there ever has been, has the hugest stadium in the area as his congregation, would never preach his message. I'm just telling you, he wouldn't do it. Now, I like listening to him because I always leave feeling good and with a smile on my face, and he can't take the smile off of his, so that's a different story altogether. But here goes Jude in verse 5. He says, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt," that's the good stuff, "He saved these people, rescued them." You know, big plague, stuff like that, pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, Red Sea splitting, water from a rock, manna, quail, all sorts of miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. That God that did that, and that amazing moment with celebration after celebration, says, afterward, destroyed those who did not believe. God, see, we forget this. God is just. He wants you to live right. He wants you to have a holy life. The same God that rescued the Israelites out of Egypt, let them wander around because they were a bunch of whiners and complainers. The angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under the gloomy darkness of the judgment.